Let us pray. Holy God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight. For you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Long time ago, I heard a story about a church, a congregation, and they had decided to tear down their current church building in order to build a better building for the future of their congregation and the forward thinking of the congregation as well. And the Board of Trustees were asked to meet together to vote on a process to be followed in order that the wishes of the congregation would be fulfilled. After much discussion, the trustees finally made the following recommendations. Three steps were to be taken by the church. Number one, the old building would be completely demolished. Number two, they would try to save as much of the material from the old building to be used in the new building as possible. And number three, they would continue to worship in the old building until the new one was completed. Anyway, oops. Sometimes the old cannot be kept in order to allow the new to happen. In 4 days, we will be entering the new year, 2015. And you know, for me, a new year always feels like a clean slate. Although most people today don't understand what that means. So maybe I should change that to say, it's a clean marker board with the magic marker washed off. Because there is that sense that we get another chance to create the life, the world, and we want to have. However, the new year does not mean that we abandon all that happened in the old year or past years. There are some things that we want, that we need to carry into the coming year. Relationships. Learnings and understandings that we've gained through experience. Dreams and visions. We want to bring that, or at least some of those, from the old into the new. And to a degree, that's where I find our gospel passage from the Gospel of Luke about Simeon and Anna today. Simeon is an old man. He perhaps cataract-filled eyes, trouble remembering things, and I'm sure he's certainly seen his share of troubles. And he's coming to the end of his earthly life. And he begins to wonder if he will ever see the Messiah, the anointed one, the promised one. Now, sometime before this story, we're not really told how long before, whether it was just immediately prior or further back, but at some point, he had a dream. And in the dream, the Holy Spirit shares with him that he would see the Messiah before he died. And I'm sure, whenever he had that dream or that vision, that he wondered if his brain was playing tricks on him, especially if it happened a while before, because it wasn't happening. And then one day, a couple comes in with an infant, an older man and a very young woman, with a baby. For the naming ceremony and the purification rites, all the things that happen after the birth of a baby, according to the law. And Simeon met them in the temple precepts, and something told him that this was the child, this was the Messiah, the long-awaited one for him. And he understood. We know this from what he says. He understood that something new was happening. something very different. We hear his words, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel." But Simeon also knew something else. This was going to come at a cost. This was not going to be easy. People do not readily take to change. Then and now. And this child, think about it, Messiah, infant, this child was a sign of change, of something very different happening. Jesus did not come into the world in order to destroy Judaism, but to reform it. However, the Jewish leaders of that time did not believe that their faith needed to be reformed. Christ came into the old to make it new, but not to throw it out. Instead, he was thrown out. And Simeon knew this. Perhaps that's why he waited, because he felt some things needed to be changed. That's how he knew the destiny of Jesus. His perseverance in waiting for Jesus paid off. He held to his vision and hope, and eventually it was placed right in his hands. The other thing I think it's important to recognize about this passage is that God blessed Simeon and Anna for their faithful waiting. They both rejoiced in the blessing that had been given to them. We have visions and dreams. And what this story tells us is that we must persevere in those. And the day will come, may come, when we will realize those dreams, or they will be realized in our lives. Or the day might come when we say, not necessarily the right dream or vision. And we change and create a new vision, a new dream. The important thing is that we never give up on expecting God to respond. And that's what's important, what I was saying in the children's talk. That's what's important, that we never give up. In many ways, Simeon and Anna are the result of a faithful Advent. In Advent, we talk about waiting. Waiting for God. They were waiting. And faithful waiting is not only noticed, but when God responds, we recognize it. We recognize it as God reaching out and blessing our lives. There's a wonderful story told by Joyce Rupp in her book that was written some time ago entitled "Dear Heart, Come Home, The Path of Midlife Spirituality." In it, she tells of a personal experience while hiking. When I first began hiking in the Rocky Mountains, I was on a trail I had not traveled before. It led to a spectacular lake surrounded by cliffs. Now, it was not a particularly difficult path, but I was not used to the altitude, and my midlife body was doing a lot of huffing and puffing. I had stopped to rest at a place where I needed to climb over some boulders in order to continue upward. I had no idea how much farther I had to walk, but I was getting weary and worn out. And just then, she said, a family came bounding down the path, and in the lead was a small girl, about 6 years old, long blonde hair, swinging in the breeze. I can imagine her skipping. And she was alive and alert as I was winded and half dead. And she stopped when she reached at me, and she looked at me with great compassion and exclaimed, "It's not much further. It's really worth it. You're almost there." I will never forget those words. They echoed in my spirit the rest of the day and far beyond. They reminded me of how much I need others to keep my dreams alive. I also heard those words as the voice of my divine companion, encouraging me and promising me that the midlife journey to my true self would be well worth the effort. And it truly has been. I think the vision that Simeon had was a vision of God saying through the Spirit, it's not much further. You're almost there. For those who persevere in their dreams and expectation, the time comes when you feel it's not much farther. The divine voice says to Simeon, to Anna, to us, hang in there. Don't give up. It will come. Perhaps not the way we imagine it might come, but it will come. Do you think Simeon imagined that the Messiah would come as an infant? That he could hold in his wrinkled, dry, skinned hands? I doubt it. But you see, that's what's wonderful about God. God can take our old story, work and transform it, that keeps the best of the old and adds to it. This can and does happen for us as individuals, and it can and does happen for us as a church. We must hold on to that vision and persevere. It may be over several hurdles yet, several boulders, just a little further. But if we hold on to it, we'll get there. If it's God's will, it will happen. The Christ child will come again into our world and into our lives, and we, like Simeon, will be able to cry out, my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. In the year 2015, and all the years beyond that, may God bless us with perseverance, with a tenacity of belief that will not let us give up until we receive the blessing of peace offered by the one whose birth we just celebrated. And to that we can only say, thanks be to God. Amen.